episode 4 of the Jazz Lounge. We've kept this going every week now. We also, what's quite nice, we've bookended Isolation is now coming up 3 weeks exactly on the dot as well. So we're sort of getting quite efficient. We're quite metronomic in our releases as well. We've not missed one yet.
Yeah, you know, 4 weeks, you know, in the special Easter Sunday edition here.
Yeah, happy Easter to all our listeners.
Absolutely.
Special day.
Very special day. I'm sure, have we all listened to our e-sermons this morning?
Oh, I missed that.
Yeah, so did I.
What was that?
Apparently, yeah. It's the new thing. Because obviously all the churches are empty. All the vicars are trying to like get their heads around Facebook Live or whatever. And so apparently villagers are sort of tuning into their local churches, which I love the idea of. Not for me personally. I can find other ways to fill my time, like this podcast. But if that's a hole in your heart, then what a good way of doing it.
Do we know what like the Archbishop of Canterbury and like the Pope are doing?
Yeah, the Archbishop was live streaming, mate. He was on Twitch or something. I don't know.
Hey, sick. Hey, nice.
He was live or somewhere. So, boys, I was saying, obviously, we're 4 weeks in now, and I found this cool thing. Well, it's not that cool. It's a bit sad, but whatever. The analytics for our listeners on the pod so far, and it's actually quite interesting. Well, it's not that interesting. 94% of our listeners are in the UK, and the other 5 to 6% are in the US. So we are like we're global beyond just the sort of statistical anomaly. That's a significant amount of listeners. With 54% male, 44% female, and 1% non-specified.
Interesting.
Inclusive. And this is the one. So we're obviously our key age demographic is the 18 to 22s, 73%.
Wow.
But 12% of our listeners are 23 to 27.
Wow.
4% are 28 to 34. 3% are 35 to 44. And 6% of our listeners are 45 to 59 years of age. We've even got 1% 60 plus, which means that someone above the age of 60 has listened to our podcast.
That's
incredible. So,
that's what we need to target. We need to get more of the elderly population involved.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Should we do like bingo? Yeah, try and
nail
like
down
that.
More of our key markets first. But
I feel like we've got it nailed down. We've got the US.
Right, we have got the US. I'd like to see some more European countries in there. Although, having said that, how is anyone in Europe going to find out about this? Well, actually, of course, but we're now on Apple Podcasts. That's our other big announcement. Is we managed to get ourselves on there, which means that people can leave us reviews. So if you have an iPhone or something, you can leave a nice review for us. And if we get enough good reviews, then we might make the like editor's cut or the sort of special promotion that week. And if we do that, then we're big time. We go global.
I'm not sure if reviews are safe.
Yeah. Just, like, don't review if it's going to be nasty.
That's not how it works.
No, that is how it works. That's fine. So obviously coming up on the pod today, we've sort of, as you all know, we're sort of searching for our USP, and we found people like the music stuff. So we do that every week now. So we're going to start off with music, a bit of Netflix if we can. We've got another quiz. I've got a UK charts quiz today. And then we're introducing a new little segment, which is basically like pub chat debates. It's sort of menial debates that sort of don't matter, but we all have quite strong opinions about. And Harry, what's our one today? I think this is brilliant. I love it.
So today we're going to question whether if Harry Potter magic was real in society, whether it should be legalized or not. I feel it might be a long episode because there's a lot.
I think so. And what I think as well is when you suggested that initially, I didn't have any strong opinions on it, and I still don't. But I feel like at the end of the episode, we all will.
Well, it depends. It depends whether we were the ones with magic or not.
This is true.
We've got to try and kind of look through an objective lens, but that's quite difficult.
Yeah,
but
yeah, yeah.
We'll see where it goes. We'll see where it goes. Our Harry Potter fans will probably be screaming at the at the speaker.
Yeah. Well, also, and just a segue into our sort of TV and music topic quite nicely. Sam, you've watched every episode of Harry Potter this week, haven't you?
Yeah. So on Sky, they've got the old Harry Potter channel up. So 24/7 of Harry Potter. It can't get much better than that.
Which one's your favourite?
If I had to go in order, I think my favourite is the second one, Chambers of Secret.
Really?
And then I would go to number 4, Goblet of Fire. And then probably 5,
They're all... Five's a good one.
And then after that, I feel they're all sort of equal.
I think it's separate because for me, the four is a little bit murky. But when you get to five, six, seven, what part one, seven, part two, they get quite serious. So it's sort of a different genre.
Yeah.
But I do think the first three, you know, I'll never forget, you watch that first one and it's cool as a kid.
Yeah.
I shouldn't say this because you know when you make a wish and you're not allowed to tell anyone because your wish might not come true. I hope I'm not jinxing mine. I guess there is still time. But I actually watched the first one and then threw a 2p coin into the fountain and wished that I would get a letter from Hogwarts one day. And I still have it, unless I'm like a mature student and they sort of holding out on me. But the for me, the first one is pretty hard to beat.
Mm.
But it's not as good a film as the later ones. Does that make sense?
And it's great because you can't unsee Durham Cathedral now when you watch it. And
I've not watched that back actually since.
I haven't watched it back.
Oh, you need to. It's amazing because, and also all the scenes in the courtyard, it's all Durham Cathedral courtyard, and I just love it.
I do need to look.
That's
at that.
Crazy. Oh,
quite
yeah,
nice. That.
I've not thought about that.
I remember number four's. I quite like number four because it kind of transcends into the serious stuff. Because obviously the end of number four, no spoilers, but it's pretty dark.
Pretty
dark. And that kind of goes in. I can't really remember number five. I like Prisoner of Azkaban.
Yeah, it's good. That.
The fight at the end in the last film is insane.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
What I forgot as well is it's actually quite scary. You sort of forget, but like the first one with the massive chess pieces, if you watch that as a 9 or 8 year old, that actually is a little bit scary.
Dementors as well.
Yeah, the Dementors are really fucking scary. What else have we? I've changed to a lot of Netflix. I watched the whole of Sunderland Till I Die season 2, which is the most amazing series. I love it.
So I've been recommended this by a friend, and I just can't work my head around why I'd find watching a Sunderland documentary interesting, but why is it so good?
Well, I think there's two things here. First thing is, as a football fan, it is so interesting seeing how a club works. And also Sunderland is almost, I mean, it's sort of religious to some extent. It is a club which sort of embodies its community. So that's one side of it, is just as a football fan. The second season, they have new ownership come in. So the first season is kind of just problems. And you just see this club in absolute free fall. Season 2, they have new owners come in and you see them sort of try and rebuild it. And it's just really interesting and quite cool seeing how it happens. And there's just like little things like the new owners come in and this guy wants to change the music. So he kind of has this marketing meeting with the Sunderland marketing team. And he's talking about how he wants to play this new trance track. And he's like trying to play this music off his laptop. And I suspect that's what a lot of like corporate meetings are like. Just someone's got an idea and no one could give less of a shit. And then you see it works out really well. And then there's a hysterical scene where his name's Charlie or something. He's the director or something. And they're at the semi-final of the trophy. And he's sitting next to his wife and he just screams that, "Fucking change it!" And his wife just goes, calm down. He's like, "No, there's too much riding on this." And you just see this bloke, this like fully grown 50-year-old man, just screaming from the fucking stands. For me, that's the big sell point. I think you should watch it. You'd love it.
Is season two, at the time that they've double relegated?
So they get relegated. Season one is them in the championship. And then season two is them in League One trying to go up. But obviously...
Season two is quite an intense one, probably.
They're both.
Can't be healthy.
I think you'd love them. You'd really enjoy them.
I might give it a watch.
Yeah, I would.
Because I've been recommending it. Yeah, apparently it's really good.
Any other good TV we've watched recently?
I've gone on from Louis. Obviously, if you listened last week, we talked quite intensely about Louis Theroux.
Oh, mate, I actually watched six of them this week. So yeah.
Yeah, they're so good. But there's another one on Netflix called Dark Tourist, which is basically a New Zealand Louis Theroux who basically looks at the kind of darker side of tourism, as the title would suggest. And so like there's one of the episodes where he goes on like a Jeffrey Dahmer tour in the US of like these people who are obsessed with this guy that did awful things. But and then there's another one where he goes and lives with some vampires in New Orleans and they start like drinking blood, and it's really interesting. But it's basically a more wacky kind of less refined and professional through documentary by this New Zealand guy. But it's called Dark Tourist. It's on Netflix. It's really
is that like following like dark tourism, like you know, like Chernobyl and stuff. Is that that?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. So there's one episode where he goes to Japan and he goes to the suicide forest where, and like you find people like going into the forest to try and find dead bodies. And then there's another one where he goes to like the nuclear fallout of Hiroshima. And he, there's like people who go around with Geiger counters and get a thrill out of seeing the radiation.
That's really bad. What's his name really again?
Oh, I don't know his name.
What's it called, the series?
It's called Dark Tourist. Netflix. It's really good. That. And his New Zealand accent's actually really satisfying.
Is it? Yeah.
Dark Tourist.
Tourist.
Yeah.
Tourist. I haven't really watched much TV apart from Harry Potter's.
of course.
And don't get me wrong, that takes up a lot of time. 7 minutes.
Well, 24 hours. Yeah.
No, I haven't actually watched any series. I might, once work dies out a little bit, I might get into all the TV programs. I'm a bit scared if I start one. I know I'm just going to get hooked and watch it.
What I want to do, I agree, once my essays are in, I want to watch all of, I've not watched any of the Marvel stuff, any of the like Avengers or anything. So I might try and sit down and watch, because there's like 30 films or something, isn't there? I might try and watch them all in order.
It's crazy. A friend of mine was watching Prison Break. He started watching Prison Break. Oh, yeah. Have you seen that?
Yeah, really good. That really good.
Amazing. Reminded me of how good it was. Yeah. But yeah, that's another one that's definitely one to watch.
And the music, boys. So obviously, we each of us have been picking a song of the week each week. What we're going to do as well, we're going to collate all our songs of the week into a Spotify playlist, put it all up in one place. You guys might not listen to it, but I think it'd be nice for us just to have them all there. And just collate them. What have we got this week? I've listened to both of yours, I think.
Yeah, go on, Harry.
Harry, what's yours?
So mine is a artist called Jessie Reyes. I think that's how you pronounce it. And she released an album last month. So I was listening to it, and there's a song called Figures, which actually she released, I think, as a single like 2 years ago, but it's on the album. And it's really good. It's kind of Georgia Smith vibes. It's quite emotional, but there's like a nice little kind of guitar backing. But yeah, Jessie Reyes, Figures, really nice. Obviously, we'll put it on the Instagram. We'll put it on the playlist.
Yeah, yeah. I really enjoyed that. It was nice.
It's a nice chilled one. It's really quite nice, quite emotional. It's not one to party to, but nice. You know, I did a bit of work playing it. It's lovely.
Really good.
Yeah.
Sam, what was yours?
So I'm going to plug a whole album here, if that's okay, if that's allowed.
Absolutely.
I haven't really delved too deep into music this week, so I'm quite poppy music here, but Halsey's album Manic, I've just quite enjoyed it. It's quite varied types of music in there. You know, one of the songs, I think it's You Should Be Sad, it's got a kind of country kind of beat to that.
Isn't that one of the singles that's been all over the radio?
Yeah, it's a lot on the radio, but it's also in that album. So yeah, it's just quite varied music. Got a good few singles on that, but no, I haven't really branched out too much this week. It's been a bit.
Is that album got Without Me on it? I love
Without Me. That is a great song. That is a great song.
Yeah, Juice WRLD does a nice one. Rest in peace. He does a nice little remix of that one. What about you?
Mine this week is LMK by, now this is a separate point I've got today, is the musicians' names are getting just worse and worse. LMK by Lil XXEL. Now, I don't know what it is with the Lil thing, but like Lil Wayne, Lil Nas X, and then Lil XXL, whatever.
Don't forget Lil Pump as well. That.
I'd say it's one of those songs, it's very front heavy. It's really good for a minute and then it goes away and it's this kind of slightly unflattering sort of drop, sort of tropical beat thing. But it's a nice listen. And actually, I think the songs of the week, they're not the best songs from that week. They're just the songs that have kind of been soundtracking our week and in our head. And if you listen to it, you'll see what I mean. The first bit is very catchy. It's been in my head all week. And, you know, it's just a nice song. It's just a nice song. There's been a lot of good music out this week, though. I actually did the rounds. The one that I like is Cadet's posthumously released album.
Yeah, Cadet's album.
Which is quite... it's good. And also, I think also every time an album is posthumously released, you sort of have to pay a little bit more attention to it because it's obviously very sad. But the single off that, Rolly, I enjoyed that. The 21 Pilots new single. I like that a lot.
Yeah,
I was listening to it. There's a lyric in it. And I don't know if they've done this by purpose or on purpose, but the lyric in it is, "Would you be my little quarantine?" And I don't know if they've put that in on purpose, knowing the time we're in. But I heard that and I was like,
"Very top." Very long.
I used to got a song. I can see it on an Apple advert.
I haven't actually listened to that one. I listened to a bit of Cadet.
21 Pilots, Level of My Concern.
Yeah, it's on the. It came up on my new releases. But I listened to the Tory Lanez album.
Yeah, I got some thoughts on this. What are your thoughts?
Is this
Stupid Again?
Stupid Again is a really, really good. I think it's a really good song. Stupid Again is one of the ones that stood out for me because I think his flow is quite good. But I quite like Tory Lanez. I can see why some people don't like it because it's kind of that American kind of auto tune rapping.
Yeah,
but I liked his stuff. I listened to his stuff. For me, it wasn't like an album that was surprised me, but it was like what I expected. And I quite enjoyed it, but I can see why you may not.
My problem with the Tory Lanez is two things. So first of all, the Stupid Again was what I listened to. It's a decent song. It's not my kind of genre, so I don't like it much. But that's just because that's not my kind of music. That's fine. The reason I can't take him seriously is because he's got that song with Chris Brown, which is that lyric that's like.
The take.
I want to push you in seven positions.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then goes on about like some feminine hygiene weird shit.
You get the
kind of weird
hygiene.
Song. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's a TikTok song, isn't it?
Serious stuff like an hour, and I'm a bit like, oh.
On TikTok, you get like 13-year-olds looking at the camera telling you that you're gonna like
That's
put you in seven positions, and you're just
bit.
Like, grow up. but it was actually interesting. If you go on the Spotify charts and look at the most streamed songs per day, the top 10, like 8 of them are TikTok songs. Like TikTok takes over the entire world.
It does. Oh, I've got a huge TikTok tip. Is TikTok with headphones on is a game changer. Because actually, you know how it's mostly just music?
Yeah.
Right? You listen to it on your phone, it sounds like shit. Right. And then I had headphones on. I was coming back from a run, had my headphones in. And music sounds a lot better through headphones than normally out of your phone speaker. And then you listen to these TikToks and you can like actually hear the song properly. It sounds just so much better. And I was like, fuck, this is it was a bit of a game changer. It made it sound a lot better.
It doesn't get rid of the point that there's still a 13-year-old telling you that they're going to like bend you over and stuff.
Yeah. Right,
which I just don't really want to see.
Yeah,
but like, yeah. Like,
I should point out, they're not all that.
No, they're not. But I like TikTok as much as the next person.
I love
screen time TikTok. Is embarrassing, but
yeah, it's in my TikTok screen time, I reckon, outnumbers my work time by about five times at the moment.
Ugh,
right, boys, do you want to do my UK charts?
Oh, I love that.
So how I've tried to set this up, there's sort of 10 questions, but they're sort of worth different points. But what I, for some of them, I'll give you the question. And you can have double points if you get it without multiple choice. But if you're not sure of the answer, I'll give you some options. And then it's like pick one out of three. Okay? And we'll do the buzzer thing again. So if you know, just fucking scream your name. Okay? And if you don't get it, the other bloke has a right to reply. And then we'll go multiple choice. And then again, buzzer, get your name in if you know. So.
Best of luck.
Good luck.
The first question. And I'm going to give you both 5 attempts to name a song.
Wow.
How many of the current top 10 can you name?
What top 10 in terms of most streams?
Top 10 singles charts, the official singles chart in the UK for the 10th, from which was done on Friday.
You know what? I'm so confident. I'm going to let you go first, Andy.
Okay.
So go one for one. Go one for one.
Benet, Super Lonely.
Is not in the top 10.
Drake, Tusi Slide.
Is number 2.
I was going to say that, but I forgot the name of it. I was going to say Right Foot Up, Left Foot Slide.
Yes, that one.
Dua Lipa.
Yes. There's a number of correct answers here.
Don't start now. Is that?
Yeah, one of them. Is one of
really
them.
Good for me.
Weekend Blinding Lights.
is the UK's official number one.
Wow.
Yeah.
Good from you. Yeah. I think you already went. I think you won this. I haven't got any more of me. Okay, well, you said there's another Dua Lipa, so.
Three Dua Lipas, and you've had one so okay. far.
Shoot, how much has she released lately?
Was a new album. Right.
She's the second most streamed artist at the moment, I think. Or maybe three. Yeah. I think it's Weeknd, then Justin Bieber, and then someone else. Anyway, sorry, I was interrupting.
Yeah. I'm struggling here. I'm not gonna lie.
Right, you got 3 seconds.
Justin Bieber song?
No, incorrect. Right. Harry?
I don't know who sings it, but I know it because it's a TikTok song. It's called Roses.
Roses by St. John.
Yeah, I St. John.
I'll give you that.
It sounds a bit weird, doesn't it?
It's number three in the chart, and it was number one about 3 weeks ago. No. Sam?
Halsey?
No. Harry?
Whipple, your favourite. Say So's got to be there still, hasn't it?
Say So is number nine in the chart.
How is it still there? It's actually such a good song. It's a bad
15 weeks in the chart, apparently.
Oh, it's such a tune.
Like, not that much.
And I was actually speaking to you about the music video, wasn't I, the other day?
Yeah, I love it, mate. It's iconic. I think it's a song of our time.
She puts that wig on at the end and she starts clapping. It's so good.
she's a nut job.
I think I'm out.
Dua Lipa, mate. Come on, name.
I haven't released the new album, so I don't know any other things.
No? All right, Harry, you got two more guesses. If Sam's used all his up, you got two more guesses.
I reckon the Box by Roddy Ricch, or whatever he's called. Roddy.
No.
Really?
Not in the top 10. It's not even in the top 20.
Bloody hell. I thought that's a big TikTok song, isn't it?
The Box is number 30.
God, great song. Okay, one more. TikTok songs. See, I would have thought Super Lonely would have been there as well. There's that. Is it Physical? Is that a Dua Lipa?
Physical is number 4, Dua Lipa.
Yeah.
So the top 10 is Blinding Lights, number 1, Tutti Slide, 2, Roses, 3, Physical, 4, Don't Start Now, 5, Lonely by Joel Corey, 6, Break My Heart, 7, Deathbed, 8, Say So, 9, and Boyfriend by Mabel at 10. Ooh.
Blimey.
Okay, so far, Harry, you're on 5 and Sam's on 1.
Nice.
The next one is, so again, this is now, it's a multiple choice, unless you can have double marks if we get it straight away. Which song in this century, so 2000 to the current day, holds the record for the most weeks at number 1? And I'll give you a clue. It was a song that was out in 2016.
It's probably the most days at number 1, a song.
Most weeks at number 1, yeah.
It's probably going to be Drake or Ed Sheeran, I imagine.
Okay, it is one of them.
2016 is Views. I reckon One Dance.
Bang on. One Dance spent 15 weeks.
Wow, that's at number really one. Cool from you, Becca. I go and Ed Sheeran, but...
Yeah, well, so...
Shape of You
spent a lot of time in the top 10, but wasn't the correct answer.
I know that Views has the record for the most non-consecutive weeks at number 1, I think, the album.
Yeah.
Which is crazy.
Okay, which song holds the record for the most weeks in the top 100 in the UK charts?
Which song? Have we got a date, so just ever?
Just ever in the UK chart history. And this is such a big time scale. I'm going to go straight in with a multiple choice. Yeah. So you've got Dancing in the Moonlight, Bohemian Rhapsody, or Mr. Brightside.
I'm going to go Bohemian Rhapsody.
Harry?
I would have thought Dancing in the Moonlight.
Really? Do you know the correct answer?
It's probably the third one, isn't it?
Is Mr. Brightside by The Killers. Spent 221 weeks in the top 100 in the UK
charts.
Such an
awful song as well.
What?
Well,
that's a fantastic song.
Oh, it's an awful song and you know it.
Okay. And again, so this question is worth 3 points, okay, for one correct answer. You can only have one correct answer, but I'm going to give you 3 guesses because it's a little bit of a rogue one. Can you name an act who has peaked at every position in the top 10? Okay, So the classification here is they have to have had separate songs that have hit their in which their top position in the chart was 1 through 10, right? So a different song that peaked at 1, at 2, at 3, at 4. Okay. Yep. And there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. There's 11 artists that have done this, and I'm going to give you 3 points if you can name one, and I'll give you 3 guesses.
Okay. I reckon it's pretty easy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Becky, you can go first if you want.
Ariana Grande?
Surely not.
Okay, my clue for this is I would look to the old school more than the new school for this.
Okay. I'm going to go Fleetwood Mac.
No, but it's not a bad guess.
What about Ed Sheeran?
No.
Oh, no. I've
just given you your clue, mate. Old school, not new school.
I don't know old school.
Okay, I'm going to go Queen.
No, but you're definitely in the right sort of district.
What about like for Madonna?
Madonna.
Oh,
is one.
Let's go.
Nice.
3 points. Sam, I'm going to give you 3 more guesses to reply.
Okay. To the Beatles.
Points. No, but that's not a bad guess.
I'm always not a bad guess. I'm going to go Pink Floyd.
No.
Oh, no.
I'll give you a clue. One of those words was correct.
What the Pink Floyd answer, one of them was,
yeah, one of those words is correct. But the wrong answer.
You've got to get this, surely.
Pink Floyd, what?
You're struggling, Sam. You're on 1 point, and I've given you the easiest.
You've just got to add an exclamation mark.
Pink.
Yeah. Pink. Okay, so the artists who have peaked at every position in the top 10 are Longie Donegan, Elvis Presley, Madonna, Mariah Carey, Tom Jones, Elton John, U2, Cliff Richard, Usher, and Pink.
Wow.
Hey, Usher.
It's a kind of weird way. It's a sort of odd one because some of the best artists will have obviously had more tracks at number one.
Big up Usher. Big up Usher.
This is it has a football twinge, this question, as your clue. Okay, the first song to have 4 separate spells at number one with the same artist. And I'll give you a clue. Its 4th spell at number one was during the 2018 Football World Cup.
Well, it's not. Is it 3 lines?
There's 3 lines. Huh. 3 lines is the only song in UK chart history to have had 4 separate spells at number one.
That's
96, 98, 2018, and something else.
I would have thought All I Want for Christmas would have had
more. Yeah.
Mariah Carey?
No, apparently not.
No, you're crazy.
Apparently not.
Oh, fair. Didn't she right. makes a load of money every Christmas, sure.
Yeah,
she does. She makes apparently like 99% of her income comes off that one song each year, which is nuts. Also, every time it gets covered or whatever. Okay, 3 more questions. Can you name the song with the highest number of sales to have never been UK number one? And I'll give you a clue. It's a Christmas song.
Is it a George Michael song? Or Wham?
It is one of them.
I gave you my heart.
Oh, it's called Last Christmas. Great.
Yeah, it's okay. No, I'll give it to you. I'll give it to you. Last Christmas. You can have thank points you. For that. For a bonus, do you know which track kept it off of number one?
Morocco.
No.
When would that have come out? I was like,
okay, it was Band Aids. Do They Know It's Christmas? So, to Last Christmas has sold 1.77 million copies, And then it sold 500,000 in its first week and it's never been number one. Right, this is dragged on a bit, so I'm going to sack the second last question and just go in. This is 1 point per artist, and there are 9 artists to get, and we'll just go for until it's we're taking the piss. There are 9 artists who have recorded 10 or more UK chart number ones. Can you name them?
Bloody hell.
So just go tennis, just go shot for shot here.
You go first, you go first.
Ed Sheeran.
No. Sheeran has not had 10 or more UK number ones.
Let's go. I don't know. Is there what about Kanye West?
No.
Okay. Didn't think so actually.
Beatles.
Beatles is one. Beatles had 17 UK number ones.
What about Aerosmith?
Nope.
Fleetwood Mac.
Nope.
Elton John.
Surprisingly not.
The Killers.
No. I'll give you 5 more guesses each.
I'm trying to think of Dolly Parton.
Blondie.
No. No.
I just don't know. Ariana Grande.
No.
Eminem.
Has had 10 UK number ones.
Now I'm getting white to the floor. Oh, what about the Queen, Beyonce?
No. Oh, what about Queen itself, the band? Oh.
No.
High School Musical cast.
No. Okay.
Madonna.
Madonna has had 13 UK number ones.
Coltrane.
No. Okay, so the ones that you've missed. Calvin Harris has had 10.
He had 10?
The Shadows and Take That have had 12 each. Madonna's had 13. Westlife and Cliff Richard have both had 14. And top of the pack with 21 UK number ones is Elvis Presley. Top of the pack in the UK charts quiz, which has dragged on a little bit, I confess, is Harry. Harry, you got 3, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13 points. And Sam, you got 6, 7, 8, 10. Right, so gents, we're back and we're introducing our first debate, kind of pub chat, menial things. They don't really matter, but we've all got strong opinions on them. And today's motion, Harry, is...
If Harry Potter magic was real in society, should it be legalized or banned?
So what we're going to do, we're all going to go around and very, very briefly outline what our thoughts on this matter are. We're then going to have a quick discussion, see if we can persuade anyone to our views. And then we're going to have a little bit of an outro, sum up what we've thought and see where we can leave this debate, hopefully in a better place. Sam, given that you are the Harry Potter expert, having watched them all this week, and perhaps most in touch with the potential costs and benefits of magic in society. Do you want to start us off?
Okay. I think in Harry Potter, there is a good legal system around magic already. So the students at school, I think you're not allowed to use magic, outside of the wizardry world. But let's say, okay, the whole world is magic. So everyone's got this sort of ability to do magic. So underage, I think, clarify that maybe school age, so 18 and under, shouldn't be allowed to use magic. But I think a good way of viewing it is potentially using the analogy of technology in our current world. I think with technology comes a lot of improvements in efficiency. Laptops are incredibly useful for work, but also it comes with a sort of, you know, responsibility and a sort of danger. And I think that sort of approach to magic would be quite useful. So I think similarly, you know, underage shouldn't be able to use it, but also same laws about, you know.
Okay, Sam, I'm going to have to stop you there. Harry?
The way I see it is, it's quite similar to gun control, because a wand is a weapon. And so it's, I think, in my society, if I was the king of the world, I would kind of ban wands unless you had a permit. But that being said, it raises the issue of how easy it is to make a wand. Because it's very difficult for, say, a 20-year-old person to build a gun. But building a wand, my wisdom knowledge is pretty poor. But do you just kind of craft a wand out of wood and it's suddenly magic? Or do you need special stuff?
Confess, I'm not an expert on this, Harry.
Tansy, over to you.
let's assume you can't make your own wand and you have to get it similar to a gun. You have to get it from a gun shop or a government body kind of thing.
Well, that's how I would organise my society. I would have it the same as guns in the UK. You need a permit, a bit stricter than the US, but that's how I would do it. But that doesn't raise the fact of like potions and stuff, but that's a different thing completely.
My view on this is I think you break it down into two. First of all, you have the haves and the have-nots. And some people are muggles and some are not. So my opinion on this is trying to keep magic a secret is a mistake, because there are huge productive efficiencies to be gained from magic, not only from an economic point of view, but from a societal point of view. You know, I just think about coronavirus now. If we had a spell that could beat it, that would obviously benefit the whole of the world. So I'm not going to worry about the information barrier there that some people have or haven't got it. Let's just get magic out in the open. But I think we've got to break these costs and benefits down. There are obvious benefits there to magic, but we have to regulate the cost. So I think it's as simple as we define very clearly what the suitable use for magic is in society or in the industry or in schools, and by whom this magic can be brought forward. And we define extremely clearly where it cannot be used. Okay, and if we go to the gun analogy, there are some uses for guns, although I think the analogy breaks down a little bit in that guns can't cure illnesses. Okay, but there's always going to be ways around it, but the productive benefits of having magic out in society outweigh the potential costs of having it out in the open.
But magic's dangerous.
Magic is dangerous, mate, but so is a fucking knife. But yet doctors use them every day to operate on people.
Yeah. Yeah, I think with magic, I think the same laws apply. I think there should be exceptional circumstance. I think with anything, you need to have caution. Like, you know, driving a car can be very useful, but also can be very dangerous. Yeah. Hence why people under 18 in the UK can't drive, 17 or whatever. So,
but do we have magic cars in this universe?
You can do.
I'm going to say it, boys. I think that the danger here is if we put too much red tape on it and we say, oh, you can't use magic for this, you can't use magic for this, you can't do magic for this, then we're going to end up in a situation where we're just like finding solutions to problems that magic is the solution for, but we're not being allowed to use it. So I would say, of course, we don't want there to be magic related errors, and we don't want there to be deaths because people say the wrong fucking spell or something, mm-hmm. or bad people get hold of magic. Mm. But there are such obvious benefits to having magic in society that I think we're going to have to take a hit, and we're going to have to say that there are going to be some bad things to do with magic, but we're confident that our free market of magic is going to lead us to a situation where the benefits of it outweigh the odd bloke like expelliarmusing like sweets off little kids or whatever.
Yeah.
So it's interesting in Harry Potter you never see like a school kind of like, well, not a school shooting, but like no one ever tries to like turn on Hogwarts.
Yeah,
like,
well, apart from Lord Voldemort.
Yeah.
Exactly, but not seven times. You don't see a student like Avada Kedavra-ing someone because he like stole their food or this something.
Well, that's the thing, I think. But for some reason, I think Harry Potter's obviously it's a very narrow story. You don't see the whole wizardry world, but it seems like there is very much a force of good, and Voldemort was this first. I mean, obviously, like, Voldemort's this sort of capture like character which sort of encapsulates all that evil. Whereas I think in the modern world, in our world, I feel there'll be more people who abuse that power.
Yeah. The one thing I think I'd say about Hogwarts is it does exemplify quite nicely the importance of good education in society. And if we're going to let our young people out in the open with magic, we do need a system whereby they go through this educational process and they learn how to use it sensibly.
Yeah.
And I think Hogwarts, to be fair to Dumbledore, he does a good job there in teaching the benefits of safe magic.
Mm.
Well, to be fair, you'd say Ron was one of the nice guys, and he's still... Which film is it where he tries to turn what's he called, Malfoy, into throwing up?
Yeah, he's a bit of a hothead.
But then you get more societal issues, right? So if you need schools to teach magic, what about the inequality among schools, and some schools maybe better than others, and then people come out? So with academics, you know, if you get better grades, all right, you may... whatever, but with magic there's more of an impact on you and other people because the magic is more powerful.
But this is the thing, mate, is the Ministry of Magic seemed to have quite a high level of public spending on education, because Hogwarts did seem to be a state provided school. And I think this is where I'd say, you know, if we look at the sort of macroeconomic effects of magic, if we have more magic in society, we need fewer hospitals and fewer doctors. Because suddenly someone snaps their leg in half and you just, just wave your wand and it's fixed, right? So the more magic, there comes a point where, on a curve, I'm sure we could get some modelling done on this, where the more magic we have, we can afford to put resources into dealing with these problems and making sure that the distribution of magic is equitable and fair.
But yeah, I mean, I quite like Tansy's idea of kind of like, will there be Russell Group? You know, would Hogwarts be a Russell Group magic school? I'd assume so.
Mm.
And then is there like an 11 plus, a magic plus, you know, do people have to do that? But then again, do you really have to train to be a doctor? Because you just got to learn one spell, don't you? Like Reparo Lego or something.
Lego, yeah.
Exactly. Right. But then obviously, we haven't got enough time to cover the whole thing. I mean, Polyjuice Potion, I mean, how do you regulate that? You could just become anyone, couldn't you?
Should we, boys? I feel like we should move to some summing up thoughts. If we go through the same again, if we start with Sam, and then go to Harry, then to me, if we sum up where we are now and try and leave this debate in a place where people in their own homes can take it for themselves, where would we say we're at?
I think it's a bit of a can of worms, I think, we've opened. But I think, you know, with magic comes a lot of issues in society. But I think you can approach it with any other issue I think modern day faces.
Well, I'm so confused. I've got nothing to add, really. So confused. It's impossible. I mean, I suppose I'd stick with my thing. I reckon you ban it and then you only let it happen to people who've got like permits, because otherwise it's just too dangerous to have.
I'm going pro magic. I'm saying the more magic, the better. And of course, we accept there's going to be problems there. But the more magic we can get out in the world, the more problems we solve. We create new problems, but we deal with those as and when. And I think the key thing is that we have strong institutions that are on top of dealing with magic and like knowing how to regulate it. But fundamentally, magic solves a lot of problems in this world. And I think we can accept the creation of some new problems for the solving of the old problems. And I'm sure our listeners at home will have very strong views on this as well. So if you do have strong views, get in touch with us at the Jazz Lounge, at the Jazz Lounge podcast on Instagram. And I actually would be interested, because I feel like people probably didn't have strong views about this, but they probably do now, or rather, they probably have strong views about our views. They probably think that one of us has said something ridiculously stupid. And so I'd be interested to hear what our listening public think about our view on how we'd use magic in the real world.
I feel there's a lot of people who would have heard our topic of the day and just switched off.
Well, yeah, as always, well done for making it this far, if you have made it this far. Any final thoughts for today, boys, for our Easter special?
No, thank you for listening. I thought that was good fun. Good debate.
Yeah, best thing about Sundays, there's no post on Sundays.
No post on Sundays.
There's no post on Sundays.
Iconic quiz. Quiz, iconic line.
No, I mean, Easter special, you know, enjoy the Easter eggs, enjoy the food. Obviously, it's probably not the same as previous Easters, but do our best. And thank you for listening. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for listening and see you next week.
Yeah, boys. Nice. Pleasure.
Right. See you later, boys.